Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tweeted 17 hours ago that the starter for Monday night against the Packers would be Deratla. Did I need to say that again? No, I just wanted to say Deratla.
Every time I say his name, I have to fight myself not to say it like that.
It's habit forming.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know, I was eating dinner with some friends last night, and I saw this, and it's really, I realized how nice it was to see a lady and a gentleman were out for dinner, and he actually pulled her chair out for her and let her, you know, seated her
how
at the
chivalrous.
Table, and he sat down. You don't see a lot of that anymore, do you?
I still do that for my
do
wife.
You?
I open the door. I pull out her chair. Not all the time, but...
When you go out to eat, you pull out
Yeah,
her
not
chair?
In the kitchen. I mean, not,
yeah, no, I understand
not
that, but like when you go dining out?
Yeah.
I should try that when I go on dates. The only problem is those booths at McDonald's are both down.
yeah, you can't move, pull the chair.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about the housing trust fund that was approved by voters and what BGR wants to see done with it. We'll talk to Leslie Harris, who is a big proponent about this, and it relates to getting homeless people off the streets. Then after that, we'll talk to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking, and then after that, we'll talk with JR about some weekend winners in college football playoffs, pro football, and more. So a whole lot more coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, Dave Cohen. You got Joe doing the traffic today. Cullen producing in the studio. You got Jordan producing from an unknown location. Most important part is you listening to us on this Friday before Christmas on WWL. Nice Friday morning before Christmas. Plenty of sunshine. Around 50 degrees or so, going up to 64 today. Then down. The temperature goes down tomorrow. The high is only 53. Low of in the upper 30s. Same for Saturday night, Sunday morning, highs of 58. But then, unfortunately, as we get close to Christmas, 65 for a high on Monday, 70 for a high on Tuesday and Christmas Day. About a 70% chance for showers, highs of 72. So kind of spring-like, Easter-like. But what are you going to do? Let's talk about this housing trust fund that was approved by Orleans Parish voters, despite the recommendation by the Bureau of Governmental Research. Of course, they're not saying the voters shouldn't have what they want. They just gave their recommendations beforehand. Becky Mowbray, president and CEO of the BGR, joins us right now. Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. So let's talk about initially the opposition to the Housing Trust Fund was from BGR.
Sure. We were opposed to this because of the method that they were going about it, which was making a permanent change in the city charter to fund these housing investments. And when we did research on 29 other communities around the country with housing trust funds, what we discovered is that you could accomplish the same goals without going to that length of creating a permanent funding dedication that would simply allow more flexibility in how city council members decide to spend the budget each year. But we were, you know, very comfortable with the idea of investing in housing itself, and voters certainly agreed with that. We wrote a letter this week following up on our ballot report because there's an important change at this point you know, the voters passed on November 5th the idea of creating a housing trust fund. The structure that they've laid out so far seems really strong. But at this point, the next step in the process is filling out all the details with the cooperative endeavor agreements between the city and organizations like the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority and Finance New Orleans, and all the different rules of the programs and how you're going to measure it. And it's really important that this program be successful because there is a great need for housing in New Orleans. And this represents a significant increase in the amount of resources that New Orleans will be dedicating to the issue. And the program's complex. And so what we wanted to do is share some of the things that we found when we looked at the 29 other cities. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel. A lot of them had performance metrics and ideas that could be applied to here in New Orleans, as the folks are who worked so hard on the Housing Trust Fund program, you know, when as they're building out the next steps of this implementation.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about those performance metrics and ideas, I guess, when we come back. We're talking to Becky Mowbray, the executive director and president and CEO, rather, of BGR, Bureau of Governmental Research, about the Housing Trust Fund that voters in Orleans Parish approved. And Becky, you know, the average American, I don't know if you knew it or not, is exposed to between 4 and 10,000 messages or advertisements or however you want to look at it each day. There is a lot out there. So when we come back, we'll also take a quick look back at what the Housing Trust Fund is and what it does and then what the recommendations are. 820 traffic now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Becky Mowbray, president and CEO of BGR, about some recommendations on how the new Housing Trust Fund should be administered. Let's get right to the recommendations, Becky. And I guess these things you said, as you said, no need to reinvent the wheel, ideas that other cities have used.
Yes. So as the city builds out this program, we recommend that they revise the city ordinance that created the program to add more detail to it and also incorporate a bunch of things into the agreements between the city and NORA and Finance New Orleans that will be developed over the next year. And those include things like additional performance metrics that are targeted to the types of programs that they decide that they're going to implement, and making sure that there are regular independent evaluations of the programs that the trust fund creates and their success, how they're working. And the reason for that is simply that you can have the best ideas in the world, but things don't always go exactly the way that you'd hoped, and you can learn a lot from how something is actually working. And it's really important that you do so you can tweak the program, adjust as necessary, or if something isn't working, you know, redirect the money to another aspect of housing. And the goal is simply to create kind of a feedback loop with information about how things are working. This represents a lot of new money going into housing. It'll be approximately $17 million a year, beginning with a 2026 budget. And so that means that it's Finance New Orleans and the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority should have new auditing requirements that specifically relate to expenditures of the money from this program. I mean, they would face, you know, they would have regular audits of their operations, but this is what we're talking about are audits of the actual trust fund expenditures. And then you want to make sure that there's strong cooperation between Finance New Orleans, NORA, and city housing agencies like the Office of Community Development. Again, this is much more organizationally complex and ambitious than what the city has done in the past. And so you want to make sure you have the structures in place to ensure that this program is successful. You also want clear eligibility criteria for those who apply to the fund. And the goal of the fund, by the way, is to preserve and expand affordable housing for low to moderate income residents. So you want clear eligibility requirements about the people who may benefit from the program, and also the developers who may be participating in it if they are building new housing.
And to
so we're
be
talking
clear,
about things like that.
Yeah, to be clear, BGR is not against a housing trust fund. You just, at least the way, let me clean this up back in the time we have left. All you're looking for here, all you're saying is you want to make sure they get the most bang for the buck and there is accountability, correct?
Yes, yes. Yes, and again, other cities have done this and we can learn a lot from other places. And so what we were trying to accomplish with this letter is to share what we learned when we took a look at those 29 other cities, because at this point in time, we do need to add additional detail to the ordinance and make sure that these agreements provide the detail that they should provide to ensure that this program is successful.
Thank you, Becky. Appreciate your time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you.
To you, too, as well, Tommy.
And happy
thanks
every other holiday they have. I don't exclude anybody. 8:30, we'll talk with Leslie Harris when we come back about her plans with the Housing Trust Fund. New Orleans City Council member. Continue the conversation right now. It's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. Don't know if you saw Thursday Night Football last night. Chargers beat Sean Payton and his Broncos. But at the end of the first half, there was a free kick following a fair catch. First time has been done successfully in the NFL since, wait for it, 1976.
Wow.
And what that means basically is that the field goal kicker gets to line up. There's no rush or anything else and just take a shot at a field goal. They can't use a tee or anything like that. The ball has to be held. And this Chargers kicker made the field goal, which was of considerable length. I'm trying to find the length in front of me here. I saw it on the video, but I didn't have the length in front of me. But here's the thing. You could, if you want, what makes this so different is a kicker, and I used to do this in high school, so I know, can like take a full run-up, like a kickoff. Like, you know, you got number 32 for LSU, kicks it out of the stands?
Yes.
So when you have a free kick, you're not bound by three steps to get the ball off in like a second and a half like you normally would.
You run from as far as you want, huh?
Right, so you could take a 10-yard run-up at it, which means you could see a 65- or 70-yard field goal.
Wow.
I don't have it in front of me how long that field goal was, but I'll figure it out.
You know, I'd like to see someone do a drop kick. I think that'd be cool. Drew Brees kind of tried it in a Pro Bowl a few years back, but that's still on the rules, that any player on the field at any time can drop the football, let it bounce, right, and then kick it through the uprights.
57 yards was the field goal that he made last night.
Wow.
Have you ever tried to drop kick a field goal?
I've tried to kick
a football?
I tried to kick a field goal once when I was a teenager. We unauthorizedly visited a college football stadium and tried to kick some field goals. And I was amazed at how difficult it was.
Yeah. Well, we can't all be
Tommy Tucker.
Studs. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dave. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Leslie Harris about the Housing Trust Fund here on WWL. 8:45, quarter till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member. Good morning, Council member. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good. How are those puppies?
They're crazy, as always.
Have they settled down at all, really?
One has. The other one, I don't think, will ever settle down.
Hmm. Have you considered putting me on an ankle monitor?
No.
No, because all you got to do is follow the trail of destruction, and you know exactly where he is, huh?
Right, exactly that.
Let's talk about, and I don't mean to make light of ankle monitoring. I'm just kidding around. It's the holidays. I'm talking about dogs. Let me fix that up right there. Let's talk about the Housing Trust Fund. And for people that don't know, and I mentioned earlier with Becky Mowbray, man, the average American is bombarded between 4 and 10,000 messages of one type or the other each day. So there's a lot on everybody's collective plate. Tell us what the Housing Trust Fund is, if you will, Leslie, in a little context and background on this.
Sure. So it was a charter. It is a charter amendment to the New Orleans Charter. 75% of the voters voted for it. And what it does is create a permanent fund to create and preserve affordable and workforce housing. That includes rental housing, but also homeownership opportunities for people who are lower and middle income in the city of New Orleans. Again, I just want to reiterate that it was passed by 75% of the voters, and BGR did not endorse the charter amendment. So when I received the letter that BGR circulated at 8 o'clock, I think, in the morning a couple of days ago, providing recommendations for the Housing Trust Fund, I was actually quite shocked to receive it.
Tell me why.
Well, again, BGR did not support the Housing Trust Fund, and the recommendations that they included in their letter are actually in the effectuating ordinance that you and I have talked about previously.
Leslie, I'm sorry, but when you say effectuating ordinance, people may not know what that is.
Sure. I was going to go into it. So there was the charter amendment. Sure. The charter amendment that 75% of the voters voted for, which created the Housing Trust Fund. And then separately, what the council did is passed an ordinance that provides rules around how the money is spent and how the reporting and auditing is done for the money that is put into the Housing Trust Fund. So that ordinance was passed by the city council. And again, the BGR coming out with additional recommendations was a little surprising, given that many of their recommendations, in fact, probably all of them, are in the ordinance that the council has already passed.
So it's just redundant? Or it's already there? I'm confused.
I'm confused, too. So, so again, that's why when I saw the reports that the BGR put out, I was very confused by it, because we already have the rules around the ordinance and how the Housing Trust Fund will be administered in place. And that includes quarterly reporting of the balance of the fund, all revenues, how the fund has been spent. They have to come before council. There's a dashboard that has to be created. So everything that BGR has recommended around the Housing Trust Fund has already been put into place by the council. So I'm actually very confused by why BGR came out with anything concerning the Housing Trust Fund.
So if anything, would it be accurate to say, Counselor, that although differently worded, what they did was a kind of backdoor endorsement of what it is that you guys said?
Sure. And I'll take that endorsement. The other thing that I will say is that if BGR has additional recommendations, they are welcome. And my door, as you know, is open all the time to come and sit with us and talk about if there are additional things that need to be put into place. We're happy to talk about those, but we already have accountability measures put into place with this ordinance.
Okay, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back. We'll talk about looking forward in the, because it kicks in budget 2026, right?
Correct, yes.
What kind of measures are in place? Are protections are in place, audits, et cetera? I don't want to get too far in the weeds on that. Primarily, Leslie, I would like to drill down on how that's going to help deal with the homeless situation in New Orleans and affordable housing,
sure.
Okay? We'll do that when we come back. 8:50, 10 till 9. Leslie's going to go pull a sofa cushion out of the dog's mouth, and we'll check traffic here on WWL. All right, 8:55 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Leslie Harris, our friend, New Orleans City Council member. Did you get the sofa cushion out of the dog's mouth?
I did. And, you know, good. I adopted these dogs from Zeus's, who was
did
the
you?
Home of Scrim. Yes.
And, you know, in Scrim, Doug McCash has a story today. Scrim was sighted. He's alive. Boy, this is a free spirit, don't you think, Leslie? Scrim?
I'm obsessed with Scrim, and Scrim is definitely a District B resident.
Let me tell you, if you could get Scrim's endorsement, you know?
I would take it.
I saw somebody in Doug McCash's story had a tattoo of Scrim. I don't have tattoos, but if I got one, I think it would be of Scrim. I admire that dog so much. Let's talk about Scrim. Scrim doesn't want housing. Scrim wants to be on the loose. He wants to be out there. Tell me about, he does. Tell me about the Housing Trust Fund and what kind of difference that's going to make. And does it wait until the 2026 budget, or take me through all of that, if you would, Leslie, please.
Sure. So the charter amendment goes into effect in 2026. However, in this past budget session, we have put money into the Housing Trust Fund and distributed some of that money already, including $10 million to provide housing in charity, to develop housing in charity and redevelop housing there. Money for the Pythian building, also in District B, to make it completely affordable, but for a few units. And also $2 million to some domain properties that also are completely affordable housing. So we are, as a city council, already investing in affordable housing. The trust fund itself comes into effect in 2026. But again, we are already using city funds to support affordable housing opportunities in the city of New Orleans.
When it comes to mixed use, does some of that relate to, and I'm thinking of... where Swiss Bakery is located now. I forgot the name of that can, whatever it is, that development. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that started as mixed use and then changes. I don't think that's your district. Bottom line, I'm asking, Leslie, when it comes to mixed use housing, does that work? Does it last long-term mixed use, or is it just mixed use for the beginning for tax credits and it goes away?
Some of it does, and so that's what some of the rulemaking that we're doing around the Housing Trust Fund is to make sure that the housing units that we create with the Housing Trust Fund dollars are affordable long-term. So I always point to the Louisiana Firehouse, which will be 99 years of affordability. The American Can that you were talking about, that was, I think, 30 years of affordability, and then they kicked people out to make it market rate housing. Mm-hmm. That's not something that we want to see going forward, because what happens is once that affordability goes away, people are displaced, and as you see, sometimes end up homeless under the bridge in communities where they don't need to be.
And I know people that lived in that apartment complex and others that lived in the one near the Blue Plate Manor's sign, whatever it is, yeah. Washington, I always get that area confused. How do those developments usually work out? Leslie, does it work out for everybody, the mixed use?
It works out typically, again, if you have affordability that lasts longer than a few years. 30 years sounds like a long time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, Tommy. So 30 years sounds like a long time for affordability, but it really isn't. What we're looking for is permanent affordability when we do mixed-use development. So 99 years of affordability is really the standard when we look at other cities, and that's what we're putting into place with the Housing Trust Fund.
So it works. It's just the financing part of it, the living together part of it works fine, right?
Oh, absolutely. Gotcha. Absolutely.
Thank you, Leslie. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, happy everything to you and the dogs. We'll be back, WWL.